Welcome to Investigative Post's Money in Politics. I'm Jeff Kelly, government and politics reporter with Investigative Post, and I'm talking, as always, with Ken Crooley, who researches and produces Money in Politics, a regular feature on our website. For his column, Ken winnows through campaign finance filings to see who bankrolls our elected officials, and then on this podcast, we discuss why. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you, Jeff.
Ken, on your radar this week is longtime Congressman Brian Higgins. Brian Higgins was just recently reelected. It's his ninth two-year term in Congress representing the Buffalo area. He was first elected in 2004. He hasn't had a lot of competitive races since that first one, and yet he's raised a fair amount of money. Tell us what you found.
Over the nine races that he's had for Congress, he's raised actually $9.7 million. Such a good chunk of money. And as the years have gone on, he's raised more than at the beginning. At the first campaign, it was a lot of money from out of town because it was a very competitive race. But after that, as you mentioned, not too much competition for the next eight.
No, it seems like every year, perhaps businessman Eddie Egru challenges him in the Democratic primary, and there's some token Republican.
Last year, it was a fellow named Ricky Donovan, who Brian dispatched by well over 100,000 votes.
Yeah, and so that's been pretty much the pattern in all of his reelection campaigns. And yet he raises a fair amount of money and presumably spends it too.
Right. In the last two-year cycle, 2019 and 2020, he raised a total of $1,125,000. As of the end of January of this year, his campaign treasury still has $1,111,000. He had a total of 915 donations altogether. One very interesting thing is that 433 of those donations, almost half of them, came from political action committees, the PACs. PACs gave him nearly $808,000 out of the $1.1 million that he raised. So the heavily dependent on funding from PACs, sort of related probably to the fact that his party is in the majority and he's got some seniority, and so people pay attention.
And he serves on the powerful Ways and Means Committee,
which is
a plum position. And, you know, it's interesting because you look at these political action committee donations, a lot of them maxed out. And when you look at this list you've compiled, what we see is a lot of organizations that are big donors nationally, but don't necessarily have local business. It's a different kind of fundraising, right?
It certainly is. There's a lot of the organizations, a lot of medical-related organizations, the American Academy of Dermatology, the American Chiropractic Association, the American Hospital Association, the Association of Anesthesiologists, and several others. So those do have national interest. On the local level, not so much. There are some local activities, steelworkers, National Fuel, but there's a predominance of national activity on this list. The maximum contribution they could give him over the two-year cycle was $10,000, and we have 24 organizations that gave him $10,000 over the last 2 years.
Members of Congress have a reputation as being sort of indentured servants to the campaign committees of their national parties. So in the case of Higgins, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, or DCCC, all Congress members are required to spend a certain amount of time raising money, not for themselves, but for the party and for the reelection efforts of their comrades. And they even have a special building for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they have to report.
You can't do it in the House office buildings.
Exactly. So one assumes that Brian Higgins is no different than any other congressman and that he has been required to put in his time dialing for dollars. Did you see any evidence of that, of his paying tribute to his party leadership?
Very much so. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the DCCC, received $215,500 of his money last year.
And that's in the last cycle?
In the last cycle.
So almost 20% of the money he raised went back to party leadership.
Right. Right. And they distributed it to other candidates or for their own national purposes, but I assume they spread it out throughout other areas. Other expenses that he actually spent $122,000 to an organization called the Conrad Group, who are fundraising consultants. So out of the money that he raised, more than 10% of it went to a consultant to help him raise the money.
Well, it seems to have worked. So he has a significant amount of money in the bank. He has proven that he is able to raise money pretty handily. One wonders how long Brian Higgins intends to serve in Congress. The congressional landscape in Western New York is going to change shortly. The result of the new census will occasion redistricting, which will be controlled by the Democrats in the state legislature, presumably.
Right.
What is that going to look like for Western New York and for Brian Higgins?
Well, we'll lose one district in the state, so we'll be down to 26 districts instead of 27. Doesn't necessarily mean that the current 27th district incumbent, Chris Jacobs, is out of a job, because he's going to live in somebody's congressional district. He might have to move again to be in the right district. Nobody really knows how that's going to come out. The information from the Census Bureau is not even going to be available till the end of September. And then they only have about 4 months to draw the lines and vet them and get them on the books before petitions go out next February for the next congressional election. So it could be, anything could happen, but Brian is in a position where he certainly would have some influence over the drawing of the districts through his relationships with members of the state legislature. And I would assume that he'll be working on that, probably already is, to give them some suggestions on how we might have that district run. As to Jacobs or Reed or and also in Western New York, they're going to have to figure out how they fit into it, but they're going to have considerably less influence.
It seems likely that Democrats in the state legislature would be inclined to protect Brian Higgins and pit Tom Reed and Chris Jacobs against one another.
Right. If Reed runs, he originally said he was only going to run for six terms, and this is his sixth term. He's now talking about running for governor, so he may just be out of the picture. But his district currently runs from Lake Erie to Ithaca somewhere. The next neighboring district would be Joe Morrell, who's based in Monroe County, the old Louis Slaughter district. Where Jacobs goes, he's going to have to make his picks. It's probably not going to be as heavily a Republican district as the district that he has right now.
If Reed and Jacobs are lumped into a district together and Reed decides to run for governor, perhaps he'll find generous funders in the Jacobs family.
That could very well be.
Let's talk about the Erie County Sheriff's race. Suddenly, in the last week or two, the endorsement situations have become very complicated, especially on the Democratic side. Run it down for me. What's going on?
Well, on the Democratic side, the party has endorsed Brian Gould, who's an assistant chief of police in Cheektowaga. No political experience, but a lot of police experience. A former deputy commissioner of police in Buffalo, who's now public safety officer at Canisius College, Kim Beattie, was planning to run, has backed out, but there's folks, including Betty Jean Grant, who are actively promoting that she stay into the race. That's pretty much it on the Democratic side, except that a fellow named Laura Sella, who's a chief in Alden, former Buffalo police officer, also has announced that he wasn't happy with the way the Democratic process went, and so he now plans to run as an independent candidate in November. On the Republican side, you also have one of those, Ted DiNoto, who's a Amherst police officer, or lieutenant, I believe, has announced that he's planning to run as an independent in November. And then the Republicans also they've endorsed Karen Healy Case, a former Buffalo police officer, but John Garcia, another Buffalo police officer, has raised much more money than Case. The Conservative Party has endorsed Case. The Working Families hasn't made an endorsement as we're speaking, but that could impact the thing, because someone could take that and could run through November. So it's conceivable we could have a 5 or 6 candidate race in November, despite whatever might happen in a primary.
Sure. And we might have a crowded Democratic primary, too, which is unusual. It's not unheard of, but it's unusual. If Beattie takes the advice, the support of Betty Jean Grant and others, and decides to run in the primary out of dissatisfaction with the endorsement process. Then there's also Miles Carter, who is an activist who rose to prominence this past summer. He has sort of not sought the Democratic endorsement. He at least wants an audience. I'm not sure that he's going to get it, but he is going to try to run in the Democratic primary.
Maybe the Working Families, from what I've seen. Jeff, he also left out Steve Filano, who says he's running in a Republican primary regardless. He's a big gun rights advocate who has said that he'll pick and choose the laws that he'll enforce as sheriff.
Yes, and that public enemy number one is, in fact, state government and Governor Andrew Cuomo. Right. Yeah, it could be a crowded primaries in June and remain crowded in the fall. If it is crowded in the fall, that has an effect on the other countywide race, too, the comptroller's race, one assumes. If there are candidates from throughout the region, particularly from in the city, that could change the dynamics there, too.
It could, because they're... The problem over the last few years and these cycles is that Democratic countywide candidates have had a problem drawing out votes in the city because there are no elections in the city in November. Mayor Brown has declared finally for a fifth term. India Walton is pressing ahead to run in the primary and also talking working families, which could put her on the ballot in November. So there could be some activity in the city, but the sheriff's saying too, because there are all these former Buffalo police officers in the mix, there could be pockets of support here and there, which could help Kevin Hardwick in his race for controller. The controller thing is, by comparison, a relatively tame thing so far. We have Hardwick on the Democratic line. We have Lynn Dixon on the Republican line. Hormuz Massouri is still considering a Democratic primary for controller, but that's about it. But if there's a lot of activity going into November, then Hardwick probably would be the beneficiary of that.
The one person running for re-election who might worry about that, if he has any worries at all, is Mayor Byron Brown, who also prefers a relatively quiet November in the city.
Of course, working families have lately been trying to pull themselves away from the Democratic Party a bit. What that means as a practical matter for an race for mayor of Buffalo, I don't know. But there was the back and forth with Governor Cuomo and the Working Families Party in the past. Whether that spills over to other Democrats, that remains to be seen.
You can follow Ken Crooley's work at politicsandstuff.com, and of course, keep coming back to investigativepost.org for our deep coverage of issues of importance to Western New York.